Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
How about rewinding a cassette tape with a pencil? You know what that's about? Bella, you don't know what that's about, rewinding a cassette tape with a pencil. You don't know it.
I do not know what that's about.
Yeah, this whole time you've been pretending like you know everything that we're talking about.
I haven't been pretending.
Give us... you're too young. I was going to say, what's yours? Bobby, can you throw something at her that she could not understand or relate to?
Which you can't...
How about a roller rink?
A roller rink?
I love roller rinks. Mm.
You ever use a fax?
I have, actually.
Milk bottle. Have you ever gone out on your doorstep and there's the milkman has come?
No, that's a little beyond my time.
See? I went full boat there. How about Alabama Adriana? Can we... Let's go to her because I think she's been outside editing. She hasn't heard any of this conversation. She's coming into it cold. By the way, get it all out of your system. Tell Bobby about the scooters. Get it out of your system.
We got scooters back, Bobby.
Yeah, I heard temporarily. I heard.
Yeah, well.
We'll see if you guys follow the rules.
We won't.
Yeah, I told them if I had my niece with me and they hit me, I'm going to own this scooter company.
All right, so I want to raise something that you won't know what we're talking about. Do you know the phrase, be kind, rewind?
Yes.
Do you know how to rewind a cassette tape without using the actual recording device?
The pencil eraser.
Oh, wow. She knows that. Has the milkman ever visited your house?
Not once.
We know we have the milkman. What else? What else has come up on this show?
8-track tapes.
You know, have you ever played an 8-track tape?
I don't believe so.
Do you know what a party line is?
Is it something to do with radio?
Nope.
Oh, then no.
Well, let's go to Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, covers the Oregon Ducks, covers recruiting, does a hell of a job. All-around great guy. How are you, Matt?
Good. How about having to use a disk in the mail to get on the internet?
How about that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
AOL would send you a disc. Sure.
800 minutes. or having to use the 40-foot cord to disconnect your telephone phone from the line and connecting your computer to get on the internet. Right. And if your brother runs across the hallway and hits it, boom, you're gone.
Or somebody calls.
Yes. That knocks you off as well.
I got knocked offline. Do you know what the phrase "I got knocked offline" means?
No, that's not.
See? Yeah. That's good, Matt. See, you added something already. Recruiting expert, 24/7 Sports. He also appears on a show on Fox Sports Eugene, KORE. Matt, when does your show air for people listening in Eugene?
Yeah, 5 to 7 will be on this Sunday night. We kind of go with what the Blazers schedule is. So we're the home of the Blazers as well. So if the Blazers are playing, we're not on Sunday nights. But typically our regular times is 5 to 7 p.m. Sunday nights.
The crux of that show, how much of it does it focus on day-to-day operations at Oregon/recruiting? Or what do you really focus on?
We go fair and balanced. We go with Oregon and Oregon State. We try and have at least one or two segments devoted directly, you know, towards Oregon, one or two segments directly towards Oregon State. We actually have more Oregon State writers on that site than we do Oregon, just because myself and Eric we're at all the same thing, so we kind of handle that. But we have OSU writers on all the time. And we also just dive in heavy focus on football naturally, and then also with the Blazers and the NBA and college and whatever's relevant at the time.
Barbecue.
Yeah, that happens too. It's about that time. Football's over. Basketball's kind of getting to its groove. And I took my barbecue cover off last night. And now I'm regretting that because it's raining today and I haven't put it back on.
You never regret taking your barbecue cover off. That's, you know, it's not a gun.
Until it gets rust. Trust me. And then when the rust comes, then you're really mad.
Let's talk about recruiting or what is the latest. I follow this stuff on Twitter. I'm not as tuned in as you are, but I see like this 2-in-1 package. What are we talking about with Oregon getting a brother combination possibly?
Well, there's a couple guys that are already brothers on the team. And then the next group could be the Sofers. Ishmael is a 5-star defensive tackle, the number one defensive tackle in the country. His older brother, Rodney, is a junior college transfer. To be honest with you, I had to rack my brain when you asked that question just because of how realistic it is to happen. I was thinking of, you know, is there another combination that's more likely to happen? It's very rare. I wouldn't put much stock in Ishmael and Rodney coming to Oregon. They're in the picture. They're in the process. They had Ishmael out here for an official visit just before the early signing period started, the last recruiting weekend of the year. And the visit went extremely well, and Oregon made a big impression on him. But he still has to see Alabama. He still has to see LSU, and those are his two biggest schools. And quite honestly, you know, he's from Louisiana. Very rarely does LSU miss guys, and when of that nature from within their own state. And when they do, they usually are going to Florida, or they're going to Georgia, or Auburn, or the big boy, and that's Alabama. So they're in the picture, they're in the hunt, but I wouldn't put all my eggs in the basket saying that they're going to get those two guys. And that's, you know, Oregon's not counting that either. They're bringing in a 4-star defensive tackle, Christian Williams from Tennessee, the Memphis area, who's currently committed to Minnesota that last weekend of the recruiting period. And to me, that when a guy takes a visit to a school and there's no other visits planned, or you're not allowed to take any other visits because it's the last weekend, that tells you, it tells me at least, that, hey, either Oregon thinks he's one of their most important guys, or the guy is saying that's my biggest school because I want to go there last and compare it to everything else.
We're talking to Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, covers the Oregon Ducks and college football, especially with recruiting. Have they landed a wide receiver who's a big-time threat, or a group of receivers that you like better for Justin Herbert yet, or is that in progress?
Well, they've got guys committed and signed already. Micah Pittman's a top 100 guy. Josh Delgado is almost in that top 100 as well. And then they've got J.R. Waters and Lance Wilhoit. Two other, you know, Will Hoyt's a 4-star. Waters is a 3-star, but was a player of the year in a really good league in Southern California. So they've got some guys already coming in, but, you know, they are looking at the graduate transfer route. Lawrence Cager, Miami graduate transfer, who will be eligible immediately, is 6'5". He's got an official visit scheduled for the last recruiting weekend of the year in late February, early February. And then Juwan Johnson, another graduate transfer from Penn State. He's in talks right now with Oregon of coming out for an official visit. Then there's 5-star Kyle Ford, a receiver who tore his ACL midway through his senior season. So he's going to be kind of a question mark of availability wise wherever he goes for next season. But he currently he's committed to USC, but he has not signed. And like 2 days after he committed, that's when the offensive coordinator's his name is escaping me for some reason, Cliff Kingsbury, when he left USC to go to the NFL, the head coaching job, Kyle Ford committed 2 days prior to that, or 3 days prior to that. So, you know, he's looking at Oregon. Oregon's gone in and trying to get an in-home visit. And then another USC guy that didn't commit, that didn't sign, excuse me, with the Trojans in the early period, Paul Anuka, he's also looking at Oregon. He's a 4-star receiver as well. But my thing is, look, Oregon's in a tough spot for receiver because I don't want to sit and rely on 3 or 4 true freshmen to be, you know, your number one, number two, and number three receivers. You need some kind of veteran presence. And is that going to be a guy like a Johnny Johnson or a Brendan Schooler? Maybe they can find a graduate transfer. I don't know. I think they're in a really just weird, unique, difficult spot with the receiver position and the talent that they have around everything else at that on the offensive side of the ball.
I agree with you, and I go, look, they're going to need a blend, right? Because you can't have all young guys. But at the same time, I looked at the group they had last year, and I thought, gosh, you know, Dillon Mitchell really stood out. But did Dillon Mitchell stand out because the group wasn't that good? And he was, you know, he got a lot more targets than he would have gotten on a team that had a solid group of receivers? Or was Mitchell really that great? Do you have a sense on that?
I think it's both. You know, I think you look at the percentage of throws that went to Mitchell, and it kind of stacks up with the rest of the league's best receivers. And I think Mitchell was somewhere around 24-25% of the attempts or targets went to him. And that's pretty similar to what Harry had at ASU. It's similar to Chenault had at Colorado. And, you know, Sammy Parker, one of, you know, the best receiving years ever at Oregon, had something similar to that as well. But I think it got amplified of just how good he was because everyone else around him was either bad or inconsistent or both. And that's going to be where Mitchell is going to have to prove in the combine, where I thought coming back could have made a lot of sense for him, or if he could have done that again. You know, he could maybe have helped his stock a little bit by coming back to school. But I certainly understand going pro, because you're probably not going to be able to duplicate the numbers and the targets that you had this past season, just because Oregon's receiving corps should just automatically be a little bit better because of the talent that's coming in. But I don't know if you can rely on that freshman talent to be the number one guy or to be the number two guy at the same time. I mean, look, playing high school football, playing high school basketball, you know, it's a step up, to, you know, from the college to the college level. And I was watching an interview with, not to change sports, with Sean Miller for the Arizona basketball team. He was talking about their game on Thursday against the Ducks, and he's mentioning that even his freshmen, if borderline five stars, they need half a year to adjust to the game of college basketball because of how physical and the speed and the tempo and all that. And that's the same thing for football, even more so for the physicality and whatnot. So I'd be really concerned of the receiver's position if they don't add any kind of grad transfer, a guy that's got some kind of experience.
We're talking to Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, covers the Oregon Ducks and recruiting. This is going to be a little controversial, a little dicey, but you and I have touched on this before, and I think it's an ongoing question. I don't get along with everybody that I work with. I also feel like Mario Cristobal and Jim Leavitt both wanted that head coaching job. It went to Cristobal. Yep. Leavitt has been passed over for other things, and I keep wondering, like, can these guys really find great chemistry on the coaching staff? And because it's a tricky thing when you have personalities and egos involved.
Yeah, it's certainly, I mean, there's something going on, and what that is, we probably will never know. But during the weeks leading up to the early signing period, I mean, Leavitt didn't go anywhere where, from a recruiting standpoint, of where Oregon was actively recruiting guys. I mean, he was in Georgia, he was in South Carolina, he was in Kansas, looking at junior colleges. And, you know, Oregon doesn't have guys on those teams that they were looking at. And you could argue, well, maybe he's making sure that there's no, you know, stone unturned, and that they find every single diamond in the rough to evaluate. And maybe that's what his recruiting role is. And I look at it, you know, this week, you know, Mario Cristobal was in Hawaii this week to start the period in Southern California now, you know, seeing 2020 guys, seeing 2021 guys, seeing a few of the 2019s that they've saw. Meanwhile, Jim Leavitt is in Iowa tweeting pictures of him driving across the country, making stops at junior colleges. That's just really mind-boggling. There's something going on. You know, I know Keith Hayward, the co-defensive coordinator, he's kind of ran point on, you know, screening the coaches and have interest in the one position that is open. That to me is kind of telling of why wouldn't, if the Leavitt, if he's the true defensive coordinator, why wouldn't he have some kind of a say in screening the names and, you know, looking at the options to replace the assistant coach of Court Dennison that left? Can they get along? They've done it for a year now, but what's the cost that's going to come with? But there certainly is something there. Leavitt certainly tried to go get jobs, and maybe it maybe it's on him to come to the realization that, look, no Power 5 school wants to hire you, not even Kansas State, a place that you're very, very popular at. And very few Group of 5 schools really looked at you, or maybe you just didn't have interest. So if you want to be a head coach again, you got to lower your expectations. I thought maybe the Denver Broncos was going to be a spot with Vic Pagano being hired there. He was the defense coordinator in San Francisco when Leavitt was the linebackers coach there. And I felt maybe that's going to be an opening. Is Leavitt's family is still in Colorado. Maybe he can go back and coach at the NFL. Doesn't have to worry about recruiting. Can probably be paid similar, probably less, but not too steep. And then, coach with a family friend. Well, the Broncos hired a linebackers coach already. It's not Jim Leavitt. It doesn't say you can't find a spot, but maybe Leavitt needs to come to a realization of I'm not getting a head coaching job at the Power 5 level, and lower his expectations and kind of smooth things over. And I think if they can figure it out, it's a perfect tandem. I mean, look what they did in 2017 with a group that was really, really poor in 2016. They made some improvements again in 2018, and with the group that they've got coming back, guys that they're adding, defense could be pretty special again next year.
Is there a cut of meat that you prefer to cut? You prefer to cook? Like, you're the barbecue guy. I lean on you for advice. What do I need to do on my barbecue or my Traeger in the next year?
Ooh, in the next year? It sounds really gross, but it's not. It's pork belly. I don't know if you've done pork belly yet.
No. I've eaten it. I've never cooked it.
It's very simple, and it's very, very good. It's basically what bacon comes from, and it's just uncured, and it's not been sliced. And all you really got to do is just marinate it for 24 to 48 hours and then cube it up and then put it in a tin foil can, I guess, or tin foil bag.
Yeah.
Bag's not the right word, but what I'm talking about. And just put that in there with some sauce and some seasonings and smoke it for 2, 3, 4 hours. And next thing you know, you've got basically candied bacon that's smoked and it's crunchy on the outside. It's gooey on the inside. And you'll have a heart attack 2 days later, but trust me, it'll be worth it.
I appreciate you, Matt. Thank you for everything you do. And happy new year, since I haven't talked to you since the end of the Redbox Bowl. Glad you survived it.
Oh, I'm trying to sell my Redbox Roku. So if you know anyone, just let me know.
I love it. All right. There he is, Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Grab a podcast of that if you missed it. If you missed anything, grab a podcast of the show. Give us a review. Tell us what you think. Tell us what we're doing well. Tell us what you like about the show. Doesn't have to be all about me. Could be, hey, I like when Alabama Adriana cracks the mic. By the way, Alabama Adriana, you know when you have to call somebody and you have to remember their phone number?
I don't do that, but...
Right. That's one of those things that shows your age. We used to have to remember people's phone numbers. And sometimes I couldn't remember the last digit, so we'd have to call multiple numbers, go, is Adriana there? No. Then it wasn't a 7. How about the 8? Drink, dial, 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 dial. Nope.
No, but I know
how to... Not that number either.
I know how to use a phone book, though.
Yeah, how about this? How about calling 411 and asking somebody, can I have the number 4? Do you remember doing that?
No.
See?
What about a busy signal? Yeah. Somebody else is on the other phone.
I've heard that many times.
How about somebody calling you while you're in the middle of watching your favorite show and you going, no, I'm watching my favorite show, so I'm not going to take this call, and having no idea who it was? Because there's no such thing as caller ID. No idea who it was. That used to happen. All right. If you can tell me something that you might explain to a younger person, they would have no idea what you're talking about. 503-417-7575. Our 202 is coming up. Plus Punch It Audio. What were they thinking? I want this topic, though. Give me something that you could explain to somebody who is younger, and they would not understand what you were talking about. That's what we've been talking about on today's show. Good night, John Boy. Adriana wouldn't know what we were talking about. How about three television networks? And when the president was on, he was on every channel. There was nothing else on. It ruined the night. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
State of the Union's on. You're like 10. You're like, damn it. Nothing on right now. How about the national anthem at the end of the programming day on television?
Yep.
Da 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 da. And then it would go off and it'd go beep. Adriana doesn't know that.
I don't know if the generation today could compute three channels.
I think it would be good for them. You know why? Because you know what's lost? A friend of mine texted me and he said, you know what's really been lost? Patience. When you have three channels, you have to be patient.
Three channels and no internet.
And one TV in the house.
That's right.
And no phone. All you have is the newspaper, your homework, a book, and that television set. What the hell are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Okay, so I'm being punished for the time period that I was born in. I could start naming off a bunch of stuff that y'all wouldn't know.
Do you know what a flash cube is?
No.
Right.
You I know what a flash drive is.
No, but you had a camera, and on top of the camera, you had to put a flash cube on the camera, and when you took the picture, it would flash. And you only, and then you had to turn it. You know, it had four uses, and then you had to throw it away.
I use disposable cameras.
Encyclopedia, we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
I want to go to the phone lines. Let's punish Alabama Adriana. Mike's in the center. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, I wonder if she remembers or ever heard of Party Line.
No, she doesn't know. She doesn't know what the hell a party line is. I already asked her that, and she said no. But tell her what it is.
Oh yeah. When you'd be on the telephone, somebody would all of a sudden start talking when you were talking, and they would have to hang up their phone and let you finish your conversation before they could start using the phone.
Because multiple
that was in the same house, that was in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, multiple people in the neighborhood shared one line,
and they could hear your story. When you talked and you were telling something, they could hear what you were saying.
That's really creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's back in the day.
Yeah.
And the other thing about those flash cubes, too, if you turned them too soon, you got the crap burned out of you because they were so hot when that flash went off.
Yeah, you had to be careful. Yeah. You had to be really careful. Brad's in Oak Grove. Brad, go ahead. What do you got?
And I hated when the president was on those three stations. The only consolation as a kid was, at least you had like a public television station or maybe Channel 12. It was usually one of the stations. But what I wanted to say was, my mom would tell me, make sure you've always got a dime. So if you need to make a call, you've got that dime and you'll be golden. Thanks, John.
Yeah. Make sure you have a dime. Don't be walking around without a dime. Because you have to make a phone call. You know what a payphone is?
Yes, I know what a payphone is.
Ben's in Beaverton. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, John, thanks for taking the call. One thing you forgot about the end of the programming day, the worst part is when it would go to static and then you start hearing Carol Ann's voice. You got my tweet. The one part you left out on that was actually dialing a rotary phone. But the one thing I'm sure most of the people in this generation don't know is what it's like to be on a true blind date. Not a date like what I'm trying to get with Alabama Adriana, and she says she would have to be blind to date me, but a date where you can't go on Facebook,
yeah.
You can't go on any type of social
media. No
advanced
scouting.
I have actually been on a real, real blind date.
Yeah, but nowadays, if Bobby says, Adriana, I'm going to set you up with somebody, you get on Instagram, you get on Facebook, you Google them, you run a criminal records request. There's no mystery.
No, but with this person, he didn't have any social media or any that was at least public, so I couldn't see what he looked like.
There's your first sign.
Shady guy. Sketchy.
I mean, it was fine. I mean, it didn't go anywhere, but
Ken's in Portland. Ken, what do you got?
I got a little story for you guys. So when I was a kid, I remember hopping into my dad's 1963 Chevy Impala, and as we're driving to the grocery store to get tubes for our black and white TV, I'm sliding around in the back of that thing because there's no seat belt in that 63 Chevy Impala. And then
that's right.
One last thing on the end of a broadcast day, very politically incorrect now, but there used to be a test pattern that had an Indian chief's headdress on it. And so that's something from the good old bad days, I guess.
I remember when I was probably like 12 or 13, my parents had a car and my younger siblings were like 5 and 7 years younger than me. And they would be in the car, like just climbing around.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, 5 years old, 7 years old. And they're just climbing over the back seat into the front. It was no big deal. Like holding onto the dashboard.
Yeah. I grew up on a farm and we had a couple of trucks and we just jump in the back of the bed. Dad would drive off. Whatever. We've fallen out a couple times.
What was that car that had the backwards seats in the back?
There's a station wagon that had a backwards seat.
I used to ride in those with my grandmother.
Wood paneled, probably. How about a stick shift? There's going to be a generation here very quickly that doesn't know what we're talking about because you got to pay more for the stick shift and people here can't drive them.
Yeah, I don't know how to drive them, but I know what it is.
You've never driven a stick shift?
No.
It's crazy. All right, leave it here. You got the bald face.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.